Welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. Explore the mind of MLB All-Star, Silver Slugger, and Gold Glove winner, Brett Boone, as he sits down with his friends from the world of professional sports. Now up to bat, Brett Boone.
Hey, Brett Boone's not in on Love Island. That's okay. And maybe he is. I don't know. But I do know he's joining us now on the River Islands guest line.
Look, he's joining us. No. Brett, are you in on Love Island? I think it's ridiculous.
He's going to leave. Come on.
I've never watched it once. Have you?
No. I wish I would have. We'd have a lot more to talk about. But no, I think my Love Island days are over. That was, I'll tell you, back in my day, though, when I was young in my, I watched some pretty wacky shows. So I would have been all in on it. In my 30s, all in. I got kids now. It's embarrassing.
No, I'm with them. Well, I have three kids too.
I've got grown kids.
Okay.
It's double embarrassed. I got a grandkid. I had a little, my daughter, I'm the youngest grandfather of all time at 38 sitting here. But yesterday I saw it. It's so unbelievable. It's like having kids all over again. It's like you don't believe it until you see it. But anyway.
Well, the best part is.
I had a great day yesterday.
That's awesome.
My mom says like the best part is she doesn't have to do any of the hard stuff. She just hands them over to me when it's all said and done.
That's right. We've all been there.
Yeah, right. We're joined right now on the River Islands guest line by Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone, host of the Brett Boone Podcast, featuring weekly interviews with the most notable names in baseball. Insider calls are presented by Grainger with professional-grade products for every industry. Grainger has you covered. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Let's dive right into it. It's been a crazy week for Giants fans, Brett. They have not done well this season. They're 13 games under 500. No one's going to act like they're one of the best teams in baseball. They're actually been one of the worst records. Wise. Although, if you ask Giants fans the last couple days, the hope within the organization has shifted. The grand slam walk-off home run that number one prospect Bryce Eldridge had the other day at Oracle Park, it did something to Giants fans. It finally, I think, signaled to them, like, we might have our guy for the future. And they might have thought their guy would be Rafi Devers then when they traded for him last year, Brett. It just really hasn't, you know, culminated very well this last season. Hasn't replicated what he did in Boston. Maybe he eventually does that. But Bryce feels like he could be the future and the now face of the team. What do you make of that and what you've seen from him this past week?
Well, Eldridge, obviously, huge talent. And, you know, nowadays it's different. It's not as rare for a young star like that to come up. I mean, in my day, it was very rare. It was the Ken Griffey was one in a million. Then you move into the Trout, the Bryce Harper era. Those are unicorn guys that get to the big leagues and succeed at such a young age. Eldridge is one of those guys. He's 21 years old. Obviously, his body of work in the minor leagues is very impressive. And it's carrying over to at the big league level. I think he's got over a 900 OPS right now and hasn't played every single day. It is something for fans to kind of to hang their hat on and go, all right, it hasn't gone our way this far this year. And offensively, this team's pretty good. They pitch mediocre. Webb's been better lately. You know, they're ace. But their offense is pretty good, and you got Arise, and you got Lee, and you got Schmidt kind of coming into his own this year. Chapman's been hot as can be the last couple weeks. It's a formidable offense. That being said, I think in the National League this year, I think especially in this division with the Dodgers, that's out of reach. I think you're 8 games out in the wild card, and you kind of dug yourself a hole. So it's going to be an uphill battle the rest of the season. I think this team is better than their record talent wise. I mean, that's great. It's easy to say that. I could sit there and go through all the teams and on paper, I can tell you what they should be doing, but that's not baseball. And that's not the way it goes. I see this is one of the craziest years I've seen in the last 5, 6, 7 years. Just the headlines. It's like, okay, the White Sox a year ago, I'm playing the White Sox. That's an easy series win. All of a sudden, they're in the lead in the Central. They've turned it around. Murakami comes over from Japan. They got a couple guys doing some really good things. They're shortstop over there. So I see headlines like that, and I'm like, well, that's not supposed to happen that quick, but it is. I had the Seattle Mariners as the best team in the American League. That was my opinion. I had the American League East as the best division in baseball. The National League East was going to be a really good division. Atlanta's running away with it. Now Philly's coming back, but I didn't expect the Mets to be in the basement. So it's what makes baseball so great, because, you know, I can think I know everything, but once I break it down and then I, you know, my buddies ask me, well, you should know this was coming. I said, I don't know. And I don't think anybody knows. That's what makes this game so great. Giants to dismal as far as record to this point, but I think there's a silver lining. I think you see some positive things going on. So I think the future is definitely be better. I just don't know if this year, especially in the National League, which is much superior to the American League this year, I don't know if it's in the cards to be a playoff team this year.
You referenced something there. I'm just trying to think about your career. You referenced like playing with the Mariners early on, and I believe Griffey, 89 draft, came up, 19 years old, playing in the outfield with his dad.
87 draft.
87 draft, okay. But 89 was when he came up, correct?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, and then you joined them in what, 92, 93?
92.
Okay, so yeah. You were kind of in between Griffey and A-Rod. So what was it like for those phenoms coming through the system back then? I mean, you're not them, but I'm saying you hear about these guys, and then you join a team with the ascending superstar of Ken Griffey Jr. I mean, what was it like then versus what it's like now? Because you were just in the dugout last year with Bochy.
I'll tell you. When I got to, I signed in 1987. Kenny was the number one pick in 80. Or I'm sorry, I signed in 90 out of college. I get my draft, high school draft. Kenny and I are the same year, high school wise. He was the number one pick overall in 87. I go to the minor leagues in 90. I go to USC. I sign as a junior. I get through the minor leagues pretty quick. And I'll tell you, I thought I was pretty hot stuff coming through the minor leagues. Never really had a blip on the radar. You know, did high A ball, and then I went to double A, triple A. I get called up and not. There's no bumps in the road. I'm successful wherever I go. And I'm thinking of pretty hot stuff. You know, I'm 22. I think I was 22 years old. I get the call, you know, get called up to the big leagues. I was an August call up in 92. And, you know, I'm getting on the plane. I'm going to Baltimore, and I'm sitting in front. And I look like I'm about 12, and the gentleman sits there. And he goes, where are you going, kid? I said, it's my first time in first class. So I'm living it up. And I said, I'm going to Camden Yards. I'm going to make my major league debut. And the guy kind of laughs at me like, no, really? I said, hey, you want tickets? He goes, I can't go. I said, well, you going to watch? He said, yeah, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know, but something's going to get hit hard somewhere that first at bat. And I got a base hit and a ribby my first at bat. I get to first base. Randy Milligan's there and said, you got 2,999 to go. And I said, you know, I was very respectful. I said, thank you, Mr. Milligan. That's great. But and I'm thinking to myself, this guy has no clue who I am. I'm going to get way more hits than that. Well, come to find out 2 months later, I'm having a beer in my locker, almost in tears, hitting 197. Like, the big leagues is really hard. Long-winded answer for I was playing with Ken Griffey Jr. I thought I was really something. And I got to the big leagues. I'm playing alongside a guy my age that's already been to the All-Star game twice and was like a father figure to me. None of my peers in my life at any level have been a father figure. And I was leaning on him like, Kenny, give me some advice. What do I do? And he would kind of take me aside and put his arm around me like he was 10 years older than me. We're the same age. He was just that superior to, at that time, anybody on the planet. And he would take me aside, and I appreciated those times, because it's like a guy that's, you don't know how they do it, but they get to the big leagues when they're 19, never look back, never go to the minor leagues back and forth like the rest of us. But it was unbelievable to watch him in that level of talent. You know, I watched the Trouts. I watched the it's definitely different now in the big leagues. And I'm not saying it's better, it's worse. It's kind of, you get to the big leagues and there's no earning your stripes anymore, if that makes sense. When I got to the big leagues, I was kind of a, you know, I was a pretty flamboyant kid, and I had a lot of confidence. And those veterans on that team, and I appreciate them to this day, because it was a love-hate. Jay Buhner loved me to death and took big-time care of me. But when I got to the ballpark, it was kids, sit in the corner, shut up, listen, watch, learn. And when you earn your stripes, you'll be able to sit on the bus with us. And that's how it was. And I was like, okay, Mr. Buhner.
Wow.
I finally earned my stripes. And I remember a year later, I'm sitting in Minnesota. I'm playing for Lou Piniella, who I was fighting with. And we're getting blown out in a game in the Metrodome. And he took me out of the game. Like, all right, we're going to get our regulars a break. I went up and I'm showering with Buhner and Griffey. It was the greatest shower I've ever had because I'm used to being a scrub. I'm a scrub, right? I'm thinking, you know, I'm the guy that goes into the game in a blowout. All of a sudden, the skippers take, I've arrived. And it was the coolest shower. I don't know if that's a better way or a worse way of how we break these kids in today. I understand that, hey, you want to make them comfortable from the get-go. Maybe they have a better chance to succeed. But I don't have any facts to bear it out. But I don't know if it's better kind of going through that tough love phase where, hey, you earn your stripes. Because I'll tell you, once you do and you get through all the adversity, you get your butt kicked, you get humbled, and you get back up, brush yourself off and go on, the reward and how much gratification you go, because you kind of look back after doing, you know, anything in life. When you complete a big time task, it's kind of like you look at yourself like, wow, I can do this. And I think not just baseball, all sports are kind of lacking that now, where it's just, oh, you get to the big, oh, here, everything's okay. Everybody treat everybody really nice. So we just really acclimate. It's almost like, and these kids today, by the way, I preface this all with, these kids today are wonderful kids, to the point where I would talk to my hitters last year like, you guys are too nice. You guys are too nice. These are good kids. But I don't know. I think it's a reflection of our society. I see my kids and I'm like, you're not tough. You know, you everything, you just expect it. Now, that's my fault as a parent. But I'm going, you're not a tough kid. You haven't been through any adversity. You've lived this great life. And I try in any time I can to give them some consequences for things. As parents, it's tough. But I just don't know. I kind of like, and everybody will always say, oh, when I was playing, this is the way it should be. I'm not necessarily saying that. I'm just saying it's different. Now, that's about as long-winded as you can get, but I hope that answered your question a little bit.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Brett Boone joining us here on the River Islands Guest Line. Insider calls are brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers the professional-grade products you need delivered when and where you need them. Call, click Grainger.com or just stop by. So, and I think what Shasky was getting at here was, did having a guy like that, like Ken Griffey, that was, it's kind of insane when you said that you're the same age and yet you looked at him as a father figure. Like, I'm trying to wrap my mind around that. That's pretty incredible. Does having a guy like there that's already, like, you know, he's the face of that franchise, does that take some of the pressure off those guys that maybe, you know, they were pressing too much? Or because I'm looking at it right now, it feels like Rafi Devers, when the trade happened last year, we're coming up on the 1 year anniversary on Monday, it felt like that was a guy that was trying to live up to $300 million, and that the Giants traded for him. You know, you had Barry Bonds at the presser, you had all these guys, Buster Posey, you know, clearly wanted him to be the dude. It hasn't worked out a year later, but now we got this kid Bryce Eldridge who wants to be the face of the franchise, who said as much after hitting a grand slam. He's got a long way to go, obviously.
I saw the presser.
Oh yeah, okay.
He said, yeah, my goal is to be the face of the franchise. I kind of laughed. Like, I couldn't imagine anybody say, can you imagine Jeter coming to the mic and saying, yeah, my goal is to be the face of the Yankees. I love the Eldridge kid, talented as heck. But that's what I'm saying about today's generation. It's like, okay, what we get out of all this is, my goal is to be the face. Really? No, our goal is to win games. And your talent, his skill set is going to take care of being the face. Obviously, he's got everything that it takes to be like on the cover of the media guide. He is the future. Everybody knows that. But for me to say it, I'm here. I could imagine what my teammates would be saying if I came to Seattle second time around. My goal is to be the face of the franchise. What's he talking about? Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm saying it's different than a generation before. You wouldn't say something like Ken Griffey Jr. didn't have to say, my goal is to be the face of the franchise. Derek Jeter didn't say that. And Derek Jeter's a guy I played against a lot of years. And Derek Jeter, oh, he wasn't as good as that. You're right, he wasn't. But he was the captain, and it's the way he carried himself and the nuances that he brought to the game that made him great and made him Derek Jeter. Not because he had these, stat-wise, he can't match up with Barry Bonds and Alex Rodriguez, but the intangibles he brought to the game, those are very important. And you hear his teammates through the years and guys now playing with Derek and how it was. That's why the rest of us that played against him all those years had so much respect. Not for just the number, the pure number. He was a great player. He wasn't an all-time great player statistic. Why? It's obvious. But what he brought to the game and the winning that he brought, it was a very special thing. That whole group, Derek Jeter didn't do it himself. He had an unbelievably special group there with that Yankee crew. But that's I'm sorry, but the press conference, when he said that my goal is to be the face of the franchise, it kind of made me chuckle a little bit. And that's the sign of our times, and that's what we're doing. When I think, as a guy that's been on the field recently and can completely relate to today's game and agree with a lot of it. And you know, part of me thinks, I like the way we did it in this aspect, but I'm a piecemeal guy. It's like, I'll take everything I can from these current guys. I can learn from that. You can learn a lot from me. I can learn from my dad's generation. That's what the ultimate combo is, taking it from everybody, but from not an old school guy that I am, but seeing that press guy, I was laughing. I'm like, well, the goal is winning games. It's not being the face of the franchise. That'll take care of itself. Don't say that. Don't say that. You don't need to say it. We all know it. You don't need to say it.
Brett, it's funny that you say that because I loved it, quite frankly, because it had a little Bonds. It had a little Reggie Jackson. You know, like there's been some effervescent personalities. Ricky Henderson, you know, was, you know.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. But I came into that after they were already Barry Bonds and Ricky Henderson. And I went, oh, okay. Well, that's Barry Bonds. That's the greatest player I've ever seen in the history of my life.
Let me ask you then, because no, I think it's a fair point of view that you're presenting here. If they came to you and they said, hey, like, we got Rafi at first base and DH, the kids at first base and DH, how do we navigate this? Or is there a way to navigate this with these two guys? What would your recommendation be if Buster Posey shot you a phone call?
About how we're going to navigate Eldridge and
Rafi Devers.
Rafi Devers?
The positional kind of redundancy, I guess, that they've got going. Do you think they can make it harmonious, or do you think that there's a decision that does have to be made?
I think as players, Rafi Devers, who's being handsomely paid and is a great hitter, he hasn't lived up to the expectations of Giants fans. I see that. The new kid on the block in Eldridge, who is going to be a star, and all that stuff. I was just kind of teasing about. I really like this kid,
right,
and
fair.
I want him on my
yeah.
I want him on my team all day long. But there's got to be kind of a collective. Rafi Devers, hey, you're getting paid very handsomely to help us win games, and I need your attitude to be whatever you want. I'm going to do to make this team better. When it comes to Eldridge, this is your future. This guy isn't missing a beat. He's 21 years old, and he's more than holding his own at the big league level. This isn't one of those things where if I'm in charge, I'm messing around with this kid. I'm treating him almost like Ken Griffey Jr., like you're going to be in the lineup every day. We're going to decide where. The manager's going to decide where, the front, whoever's making that decisions. And Rafi Devers, wherever we put you in the lineup because of how we're paying you, I think you need to accept that because this is about the collective. It's not about you. You've got your contract. You've been very handsomely paid. Now I expect you to be the team guy that whatever it takes, hey, he had all that in Boston. And I understand the ego part. If you came to me in the middle of my career in my heyday and said, Brett, you're not going to play second anymore, I would have had a problem. And say, show me somebody that can play the position better. Why are you moving me to first base? So I understand the ego. But at this point, I think Devers would have to have that positive attitude. Like, you know what? All that Boston stuff, all that past, it's in the past. I'm here to win games. I'm at that stage of my life where I'm here to win games, and I don't care how we do it. I want to be a part of the collective. I want to walk in that room, and my teammates look at me at Rafi Devers as one of the best hitters in the game, and, hey, we follow this guy because we like how he goes about his business. That's who people follow. People don't follow people that with their words, he really had a great meeting after the game and really said all the right thing. No, guys follow people that don't say much. It's just kind of like, wow, what's different about him? He's a pro. Why? I want to be like him. That's who people follow, not people that have a lot to say, that call team meetings and get up on the soapbox and tell. I've had plenty of guys do that. Guys follow people that come to the ballpark or even keel, win, lose, or draw. Tomorrow's a new day. We come to the ballpark, smile on our face. It's a new day, and we go about it, and we go about our business, and we go about it as a pro. That's who people follow. I think Rafi Devers is at a place in his career where he can be that guy if he wants to. And this Eldridge kid, he's 21. He's 21. He's, you know what he is. You watch him play. You see his skill set. You know what he's going to be. So he's got to be in the lineup every day. We're developing now. Now we're going to get him to the point where next year, start season, you're rock and rolling with an Eldridge that's got some time under his belt, some experience, and let's see what he can be.
Brett, you're a guy I want to follow. Him. That was tremendous. Great interview. We hope to do it again soon, man. Good stuff.
And I'll go down the rabbit hole of 92 Seattle Mariners, Dave Valley, Tino Martinez, Edgar, Boogie Mitchell, Buehner,
awesome.
Pete O'Brien. Awesome. I love those teams.
I'll tell you what, Kevin Mitchell, everybody thinks he's this big, mean guy. Kevin Mitchell saved my life several times because I get in Buehner's face, and to this day me and Bone are very tight, but I'd get in Buehner's face. I said, you know, I'd sit right in the back of the bus after, you know, I'd have a good game, hit a home run. You think you could just sit here because you had a home run? I said, absolutely. And anybody that gave me a hard time for whatever reason, Kevin Mitchell was like he was my muscle. He's like, hey,
I love that.
You leave Booty alone. I like the way he swings. He swings hard like me. I said, yeah, you talk to Mitch, but those are good times. Those are formidable years. Those are times I'll never remember. I'm this punk kid just abused by these guys, but a part of me kind of loved it. I loved throwing it out there, being flamboyant, because I knew what was coming. I knew they were going to cut my suit in half. I knew they were going to put me in a dress 10 times, and I didn't care because it was fun. And in the end, I love those guys, and they loved me. They just couldn't believe that I was that brash with absolutely zero stats to bring to the table. I was just this punk minor league guy coming to the big leagues, and part of it was like, can you believe he's acting like this? But we kind of like it, but we still have to put him in his place. It was something special, and I learned a lot from, and man, that's why I, you know, part of me just thinks, I wonder if it's better that way than the current system.
You're the best.
But who knows?
You're the best.
Brett, talk to you soon, man. We appreciate it.